intimate meetings with the Lord. According to Sri Jiva Goswami, the mind and Vidya mentioned in this verse are empowered expansions of these deities, who are residents of the Lord Ramachandra's Vaikuntha domain. The Lord arranged the degradation to show the evil of bad association that results from offending great personalities. Thus, speak about Lord Balaram's pastime of delivering the Vidya. In these days and weeks, months and other days, leading up to Janmashtami, it is appropriate to reflect upon the sequence of events transpiring on Earth 5,000 years ago. In the town of Nandigram, which had a palace atop Nandishwar Hill, and the highest point on that palace was the moon tower of Mother Tishana, which was a beacon of hope. And all the Vrijavasis felt very secure, very protected, very much loved because of having a king and queen like Mother Tishana and Nanda Maharaj, who loved all their subjects dearly as would a father or mother express affection for their own children. Nevertheless, there was one trouble, which was on the increase. And that anxiety, which was spreading throughout the land of Rajabhumi, was expanding from Mother Tishoda's heart, which was troubled by anxiety, that at a very elderly stage of life, she had no children. And all the Brahmins who chanted all their mantras and performed all their sacrifices meant to bear fruit in terms of Nanda Yashoda giving birth to a child was fruitless, which simply intensified Mother Tishoda's stress that her maternal desires might never be fulfilled is the anxiety that their family line would end without any succession. Nanda Maharaj very patiently and consistently reassured her that the son I pray for cannot be attained or attracted by karma because he is the very source of karma. And I'm seeing him already, all day and all night. And I cannot say whether I'm dreaming or awake that this child who is the offspring of both of us is always present. And Mother Jacinta said, can you explain to me what does he look like? Nanda Maharaj said, this child is all attractive. He's dark, has large lotus eyes. He plays on your lap and drinks your milk. And Nanda Maharaj prescribed that we perform a very devotional rut following the Dwadashi vow for 1 year. After which Lord Narayan appeared to them and encouraged them, do not lament. Your devotion will soon bear fruit. The child of your dreams will soon be born to give pleasure to you as well as to awaken devotion in the hearts of the pious souls of this world. That gave them great reassurance. And the very same day, Purnamasthi arrived with Madhu Mangal, and they asked, why have you come to Braja? And Purnamasthi explained, I have come to take up residence on the bank of this Jamuna, who is dark, and like the child, who will soon be born to you. And I have come to await the birth of your Shamasuna. And that very night, Mother Rohini arrived, riding fast on horseback, who had been consigned to the protection of Nanda Maharaj by Vasudeva, who was fearful of the wild rage of Kamsa, which could, you know, change in an instant from the moment he was driving Devaki on her chariot to the next moment he was ready to cut off her head because of an omen he heard from the sky. This indicates the very tainted nature of family relationships, the kind of affection which even demons feel, but it's so tainted by our own selfish ambitions and aspirations that as soon as one's sense gratification is jeopardized, the relationships change quite dramatically. So, in fear of Kamsa, who is fear personified? And is meant to help the devotees take shelter of Krishna. Vasudeva, the wife of Devaki, who is the goddess of devotion, in whom devotees take shelter out of fear, so that Krishna will take birth in their own hearts. But that Vasudeva, if he sent his other wife, Rohini, to Braj, for shelter in the palace of Anumaraj. Rohini at this time is already 3 months pregnant. And after a few more months, was Devaki's experience of miscarriage, which most assumed was induced by fear of Hamsa. But the reality is, as Krishna himself told Yogamaya, who's orchestrating all these events, that after the Sadgamasuras, the six archetypal demons personifying Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madhavatsara, lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy, were the grandchildren of Hiranyakashipu, who had been cursed to be killed by their own father, were placed in the womb of Devaki to be killed at the hands of Kamsa. After those demons had passed through the womb of Devaki to prepare for the advent of Krishna, Sankarsana entered her womb, because what is his function? He is the purifier of all creation. He expands himself as the holy dawn, as the spiritual sky, as the Chaturvyuha, from whom Sankarsana again expands as the Narayan deities of Vaikuntha, who expands into a secondary Sankarsana, who expands as Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshina Vishnu, Kiridakshina Vishnu. Lord Balaram expands as all the paraphernalia for the worship of Krishna, his throne, his altar, his bed, his seat. He had already performed that function in the heart of Devaki as Sankarsana. And then he wanted to merge with his source, Balaram, who was in the womb of Mahina. So, that Lord Baladev takes birth today at noon. White, pure, and effulgent as the full moon. And his sight, anyone who saw him became filled with bliss. Therefore, the astrologers gave him the name Balaram. Endless bliss and divine strength. But what they appreciated most was from their horoscope, was that he would protect the cows, kill the demons, and be especially protective out of fondness for his little brother, who was soon to follow. At that time, Mother Yashoda also had a dream of an exquisitely beautiful boy who was obscured by the lust of a celestial girl. The boy entered the heart of Nanda Maharaj, and the girl entered her womb. After which, the child in the heart of Nanda Maharaj entered her womb. And Balaram, seeing, as did everyone else, that Mother Yashoda's abdomen was expanding, her breasts were swelling, little Balaram, just a baby, spent all the time he could in the lap of Mother Yashoda with his head against her womb, wanting to be very close to his brother who was yet to be born. After the birth of Krishna, these two babies became the very best friends, and the bliss of the Vrijavasis expanded to no end, having these two lords, who are not different in the sense of being complete in the opulences of all glory, all beauty, wealth, wisdom, strength, and renunciation. And yet their different complexions indicate different moods. Shyamasundar is the supreme enjoyer. Balaram is the supreme enjoyer, who caters to that supreme enjoyment of his brother by offering loving relationship. And Krishna's enjoyment depends on the support of a large congregation called Braja, in which Srimati Radharani expands as the gopis and vandevis and female forms of Braja, and Balaram expands as the other Vrijavasis. To give pleasure to Krishna through loving relationships. And Krishna and Balaram appear in a form which is more human than superhuman, more natural than supernatural, more lovely than awesome, simply to touch our hearts, melt the steel-like flame encasing our hearts, and capture our hearts. And in so doing, to grant shelter to us. And yet there is a danger in this most confidential feature of the Lord, in this mercy he distributes. And that hazard is represented in Bhagavad-gita, mentioned in these verses, in the purports, regarding the downfall of Duvida. Bhoma was the son of Krishna himself, whose mother was Goddess Bhumi, Mother Earth. He was a good boy as a child, but by falling into bad association, his intelligence became corrupted and he became demoniac. And what he represents, Bhoma, the son of the earth, whose father was the Lord himself, Brahma, what he represents is the tendency to take what is divine as mundane. When hearing a warning is offered regarding what caused the fall down of Duvida, who is portrayed here in the Bhagavatam as the carnal spirit, an ape, who is attracted by the celestial music of the kirtan in years of the Raghavataka mountain. But then seeing Lord Balaram enjoying with the gopis there, began behaving in obscene manner. And the fear of Lord Balaram delivered him. This is the consequence of what happened in a previous millennium during the fierce battle of Lanka, in which the monkeys of the Lord and bears of Lord Ram's army were overtaking Lanka. Tight in these celestial nagas, snakes. At which point they lay helpless on the battlefield. And the grief which Lakshman felt for his brother Ram was intense. And the monkeys, seeing this, already being wounded and downcast, and then seeing Ram and Lakshman appeared to be lifeless, and Sugriva standing helpless, forlorn, over them, having lost all hope. And it was Vibhishan, the brother of Ravana, who extorted them. Sugriva, look at their faces. They're effulgent. These are not the faces of the dead. They are living. And they will recover and resume the battle. So with dawn, when the power of Rakshasas and their sorcery is weakened, Ram came to consciousness but remained overwhelmed with grief and lamentation that Lakshman was still lying, apparently lifeless, on the ground. So Sugriva turned to his uncle for advice, and he said, and he prescribed a medicine. It's in the Himalayas, which Hanuman will bring in due course of time. And just then, both land and sea were churned into great turbulence, and the rhythmic beating of what was like a deep resounding drum indicated something descending from the sky. And they looked up to see Garuda descending. And with the approach of Garuda, the serpents which held Ram and Lakshman bound tight, they fled for their lives. Garuda landed, and with his wings very gently stroked Ram and Lakshman in their faces. And Lakshman regained consciousness. And Ram asked this giant eagle, "Who are you? Who are you coming to rescue us and save our lives?" And Garuda replied, "I am your old and dear friend and companion. But because Lord Ram had concealed, even to himself, his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he couldn't recognize Garuda, who then departed the battlefield. And the war continued." Seeing this scene, Vimila, who was a high-ranking courtier, servant of Sugriva, began thinking that Lakshman is mortal being. He's been subdued and introduced. He was thinking like that. And that created the fertile soil for an artist to rise within his heart. And when Krishna wants to deliver one into the care of material energy, he first of all covers their discretion, and they gravitate towards that association, and thereby become degraded. So Devita, after this offense of thinking Lakshman to be a mortal being, he gravitated toward the association of Bhoma, later known as Narakasura. Hellish mentality of mistaking the divine to be mortal. And because of that bad association, he became so degraded that even when he was attracted to Balaram, who was the source of all attraction, grudge. There is a very sacred grove in Virginia named Ramdas, where a very touching pastime transpired. That is where Lord Balaram addressed Krishna, my dear brother. I think that in all of creation, there is not a single person so cruel as you. You traverse the whole world. You travel from Hastinapur to Mithila to Madras to heaven. But you never go to Braj, which is practically rather important. But you go in your journeys so close to Braj that you never stop to visit. Who in the world would totally forget and neglect their very dear and loving parents the way you do? Aside from Nanda Dushana, your friends, your gopis, they're living only by the thin thread of hope that you will someday return to them. And yet you simply turn your back on those who have surrendered everything for you. Is your intention simply to neglect them forever? And then what do you do to add insult to injury? You send your servant to console them in your absence. Why do you refuse to go personally? Let's go together, you and me, Krishna and Balaram. Hearing this, Krishna broke down crying. He said, "Yes, it's true. You're right, my dear brother. I am so cruel. There is no one so ungrateful as me. I don't want to be like that. I simply can't help it. Because my heart is filled with capriciousness." And Krishna just fell down on the couches. He had his reasons that for the benefit of the Brijavasis, who were so deeply absorbed in the unending trance of remembrance, which is far superior than the sporadic happiness they felt in his presence, unhappy Krishna remained in Dwarka for the benefit and pleasure of the Brijavasis. But this line of reasoning, along with his following actions, was not at all acceptable to Balaram. So, he decided to go himself. At which point, Krishna had half a mind to go with him, but he stuck to his resolve to award the Brijavasis the highest ecstasy of the Brahmanda Bhava. So, the return of Balaram to Braja was to the Brijavasis what a breath of air is to a drowning man. Balaram went first. Of course, how old is he now? 100 years old? He went right straight to the lap of Mother Jishma and was bathed in her tears. He offered his respects to the elders. He played with the little gopas and the children. They all asked about the welfare of their loved ones in Dwarka, and their talks inevitably. Krishna had entrusted him with a very grave mission. his message to the gopis. And approaching them, Lord Balarama, the deep ocean of mellows, felt himself submerged in the ecstatic emotion of the gopis, who first started reprimanding Krishna as ungrateful and infidel and dishonest. And Balarama was mystified by the contradictory currents of affection, chastising Krishna, praising Krishna. And he was wondering, certainly I can recall Krishna's words, but how can a mere messenger impart the very personal love in every word for each individual Vrijavasis? The master of all worlds and controller of all powers felt inadequate for this mission. The gopis wanted Krishna, and before them stood Balarama. And he was speechless. He felt helpless. And to save his brother in his predicament, Krishna did indeed return to Braja in the pure mind of Sankarsan, who draws forcibly everyone to Krishna and conversely draws Krishna to those whom he favors. So Krishna, who was at the time lying on his couch in his celestial palace in Dwarka, found himself transported to a moonlit kunj in Braja. The ornate palace where he was transformed into a moonlit kunj. The crashing waves of the ocean around Dwarka were replaced by the gentle lapping waves of Jamuna on her shore. And the reverential hymns of the Dwarka birds was replaced by the sweet bhajans of the Chakravarti Raja. And Krishna found himself within the heart of Balaram, standing before an assembly of gopis who were waiting for Balaram to speak, but he would not speak. He stood speechless. And to rescue Balaram from this predicament, Krishna spoke through his brother's mouth. And the gopis were perplexed. They're seeing Balaram, but they're hearing Krishna. And the incongruity confused them. And to dispel all doubt for all time to come, for an instant, Shyama Sundar, dressed in yellow cloth, playing upon his flute, replaced the moon-like form of Balaram, clad in blue silk and holding his plow. And in this way, Balaram did unite the Vrijavasis. He was still filled with the happiness of being home. During Balaram's 2 months in Vrindavan, is transformed from a wasteland into paradise. And it's very much reminiscent of Srila Prabhupada's visits to New Vrindavan. We lived and served and achieved miraculous results in loving, yearning anticipation of his return. Next day, in great ecstasy, when his wife served him his lunch, which was fine rice soaked in ghee, he would take a handful and in a very spontaneous way offer it to Lord Gauranga and throw it on the ground. Take more and offer it and throw it on the ground. And more and offer it. Huge pile of rice lying on the floor. Mahariputta's wife knows that he's so absorbed in loving dealings with Krishna that sometimes he behaves in a way that does not conform to normal social dealings. And it did not affect her faith and love for him in the least. But she had no idea what he was doing. Until the next day, when Lord Gauranga came to their house and said, Mahari, you're a Vaidya, a physician. I am sick. What's the problem? Indigestion. What is the cause? You made me eat so much the other day that now you have to cure me. Now, Lord Gauranga, he's been through these things before. He knows that the cure is water. But before Mahariputta could serve him the water to cure his indigestion, Lord Gauranga saw Mahari's jug of water, which he used for his own personal menial purposes. And before Mahariputta could intervene and stop him, Lord Gauranga took that jug and drank its entire contents and said, now I'm cured. Thank you. And to show his further appreciation for the respect shown to Lord Nityananda, Lord Gauranga gave him the bhava from his own lotus. Blessed is that Lord. Accessible to us through proper observation of such holy days and the singing of glories of the Lord who appears today, contemplating the depth of his unreserved mercy and praying to please his representative, we get access. Blessings inherent to this occasion. Shri Balaram ki jai, Shri Krishna ki jai, Shri Radha Krishna ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions? Thank you very much.
It was a lecture on in the morning of Lord Balaram's appearance day in New Vrindavan 2015, Canto 10, verse chapter 67, verse number 2.